So I'm going to talk about list comprehension and how to compile list comprehension and Common Lisp. And actually, this problem of list comprehension compilation is part of a bigger, much bigger problem. And so I'm going to talk about first the why I needed to compile list comprehension. And my presentation is on a technique that is very simple, so there's nothing really deep in what you're going to see today in terms of technique or hacking. But it's a little experience I had, trying to compile the list comprehension in Common Lisp. And I've been using Scheme for a long time. And recently I switched to Common Lisp, working with this group at SRI, and I discovered a new thing, Common Lisp that I had forgotten. And I guess I will share that with you today. My talk could have been titled this way, Recursion in Common Lisp is not like in Scheme. If you start with the idea that you're used to use a lot of recursion in Scheme and you switch to Common Lisp, you assume that you have the same power, you will have some problem that I discovered pretty quickly. Usually, if you use the right optimization for some implementation, you can obtain the same level as Scheme. But that's not obvious, and it's not portable. And that I discovered also, because you declare something for one implementation, and it works quite well on one implementation. But then when you move it to another implementation, it breaks completely. So, and finding the right optimization setting to make it work is not an obvious thing to do. And actually, I never liked the loop facility in Common Lisp because its syntax is really quirky and it's really like the semantic is never clear and you've got really gray corners. But I think that maybe today, if you have the same feeling as I have about the loop facility in Common Lisp, maybe today you'll change your mind about it because we're going to find out that actually a subset of the loop facility is actually list comprehension. This is what it is. And maybe someday we should rewrite the chapter that describes the loop facility using list comprehension syntax, and maybe that's going to be more palatable for people, at least for me. And the last thing is probably the little conclusion is that the right solution is often the simplest one and not the most complicated thing or the most elegant thing that you can find in books or in theory. The context. The context is that we have. So I'm part of. I'm a member of this group where we have this website where you can get information about metabolic pathways for different organisms. One of the most common one that we have is E. coli. For example, we have this huge database on E. coli. You can go to a website and in the back of that website, there's a tool, a software running completely in Lisp, and it's fully written in Lisp, and it accesses databases, which contains metabolic pathways of 200 organisms. You can select an organism, and you can say, bring me the pathway, blah, 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 and it will show you the pathway. So that there's a graphic interface and so on and so forth. And the tool is called Pathway Tools. And you can download it, and we release pathway tools 2 times a year. And we have biologists that enter new information using pathway tools, and they can create a database that contains genomic information and metabolic pathways. So on a website, on this website at biostack.org, there's an advanced database search. And 3 weeks ago, it was replaced by this new implementation, which is based on BioVelo. It's a new language that is based on list comprehension. So this is where this whole thing comes from. The list comprehension is that I created a new language where you can go to this website and you can enter queries to do search. And it's all based on list comprehension. So, and then this thing just came out 3 weeks ago. We made it available. An example of a BioVelo query can be seen here in blue. And this will allow me to introduce, if you're not used to the Lisp comprehension syntax and semantics, I will show you an example using Bauvelo. This is Bauvelo syntax. Here what we see, the main thing is, so you have the Lisp comprehension here is composed of two main parts. You have the head, just before the column, which essentially describe what you want as the output. And this thing here is a tuple, and it contains, essentially, it says, I want three results, which will be displayed, if you go to the website, will be displayed at three columns. And here's the search itself, which essentially it says, I want to look inside the E. coli database, and the double character here means the class of object, and here's the name of the class. So you want to look at the reactions. So you want to look at all the reactions inside the E. coli database. And here you specify, so this is called a generator here because of this little arrow, and it binds X to every reaction that we have in the database. And here we have a test, a filter, and that test here simply says, I want reaction for which the right side of the reaction has more than three compounds in it, small molecules. And so if you run this thing, you will get three columns of all the reaction name, and you will see what's on the left and what's on the right of that reaction. It would be displayed using links and all that stuff. So if we go to that website and we click Advanced Research, Advanced Search Database, actually the Bauvelo language is, so the syntax we just saw is kind of a bit complicated for any biologist to enter directly. So we actually provide an interface. And I don't want to go into the detail of this, but just if you go there, you will see this first page there where you will have this interface written in JavaScript where you can, by pulling, you know, some, doing some selection of the database and the class and so on and so forth, you can actually build a Lisp comprehension. The user doesn't know that this comprehension will be generated, but eventually when you will click submit query, it will take all the information that you enter here, it will generate a Bauvelo query and will send it to the server. Now the interesting part is that you can actually go to another interface where you can directly enter in a box here, you can enter directly a Lisp comprehension query, the Bauvelo query directly. So hopefully, and this is actually a discussion we had a lot in our group, hopefully some biologists will use this directly to query our databases, and you can enter eventually complex queries. Here's an example, and just to show that it's possible to write really interesting queries for biologists using Lisp comprehension. Here's an example where, and actually this query here was formulated by one of our biologists. You know, one of our biologists wanted to know that, and so this is what I take this example directly from someone who wants to do some search, some complex search in the database. Here, the query is that we want to find all enzymes of E. coli that catalyze two reactions in the same pathway. So a pathway is simply a list of reactions that all hook together and that form one unit and for the organism in E. coli. And this biologist wanted to know, hey, I want to know if there exists indeed some enzyme that will catalyze two reactions in the same pathway. And actually, there are not many of those. Although in E. coli, you have like 2,500 enzymes, these are rare enzymes. And indeed, there exists some. And to find those enzymes, what you do is you look at all the pathways in E. coli. So that's kind of obvious at first. You want to look at all the pathways. And what you do is, here you have to know the schema of the database, of course. You have to know that there indeed is an attribute. For every pathway, we have an attribute which you can access using this caret here. This is simply an access to an attribute of the object, the pathway P. And then you look at the list of reaction. So of course, given the pathway, you have a list of reaction. And you look at all the pairs of reaction. So here this will give you all the pairs of reaction. So you have three generators in a row here. And then you don't want, you know, of course you don't want the same reaction in the pair. And here at the bottom, the attribute enzymatic reaction describe the reaction itself with the enzyme and the compound in the reaction. And here we simply take the intersection. This is the operator intersection. And if the intersection is non-empty, well, that means that the same enzyme, the same enzymatic reaction occurs for this reaction. And so if you enter this this query and the advance, you get this result here, which essentially display here the enzymatic reaction, or the enzyme if you want. And here you have the pathway and the reactions. Now you can see that it repeats the same pathway several times because, you know, if you go into the details of the query we just made, you know, we have repetition because of symmetry and all that. So essentially there are five pathways. And the fun thing, or the, you know, the interesting aspect is that all of these are links. So you can click and you can directly go to the object that you have listed here in the table. So if you click, for example, this pathway here, you will get the description of the pathway directly on the website. And we can indeed see here that this reaction repeats here. I mean, the enzymatic reaction 2211 repeats here in this pathway. So this is the context of this work. This language for querying databases is based on list comprehension. So the big question is, how do we compile list comprehension in common lists? That should be rather straightforward. Or is it? So the first thing I did was, I was a bit lazy. I said I had many other things to do. Babelio is a type language and you have to parse it. You have to do a lot of things before you get to the pure list comprehension aspect. Compiling the list comprehension for me was the last thing I wanted to do. And I said, okay, that's going to be easy. And so I left this for the last step of my work. And so one day I went to Google. As usual, you want to grab something from the web and just use it as is and or work from it. And so I go to Google and I enter translating, enter these keywords, translating list comprehension to common list. And the first hit I get is paper from Guy Lapalme. I know very well. I actually study under his direction, and so a very old paper, 1991, in List Pointers. List Pointers don't exist anymore. I don't know when it disappeared, but anyway, it disappeared one day. And I download the paper. I look at it, and then really nice macro, 20 lines in length. And I say, hey, it's written in Vim and Common Lisp, so I take it as is and start to use it. So it was very short and appears simple, so I use it as is. And let's look at this. It's based on Wadler's three rules, which is pretty simple. We'll see this macro in a few minutes. Just before we see this macro, I just want to say that what we're going to compile is not Babelio. It's much simpler syntax. So the list comprehension we're going to compile are simply lists. Where you have the head here, which is an expression, and you have a list of qualifiers, which are either generators or are filters. And a generator will be represented as a triple here, where you have a variable, the symbol, you know, arrow, and a list here, an expression which represents a list. So all our list comprehension for a example of a list comprehension using the syntax is here, where we have here two generators, we have one filter, and so essentially if you run this thing, if you execute this thing, you should obtain a list like this, which is a Cartesian product of the numbers 1, 2, 3, and A and B. So this is the basic syntax we're going to use. Well, here's the macro from directly verbatim from Lapalme's paper, which is, you know, 20 lines long, pretty simple. It's based on three rules. And the essential part, you know, we can go to all the details, but the essential part we have to simply notice here is that everything is based on recursion. And the recursion occurs because we want it to occur here so that we define local functions which will simply emulate the generators. So for every generator, we define a new function. And eventually we call it with the basic list, the list object that are that is on the left, on the right side of the arrow, I mean the generator itself. So and it generates you know symbols and all of that. You've got a basic case here where if you look at the macro, it will break it when we call this macro, we'll break it with the head and the list of generators. And the code here simply tests whether or not the list of generators is finished. In that case, it simply counts the head, the expression, the result of the head, with the rest of the computation, the rest of the list that has been built so far. So at the entry point here of this macro, L2 represents an expression that builds an entire list of objects so far. Because this macro is recursive, so at some point, the expression, the list of qualifiers will be empty. So this macro, if we apply it to an example here, apply it to this expression, this is a list comprehension where we have two generators, we have one filter, and we have one, you know, the head is very simple, it's simply the x variable. So this variable here, we assume that it's bound to the list of integer 1 to 50,000. And notice that even though this thing will loop, you know, essentially will loop 150,000 times, it will actually return the empty list because the test here is always false. You know, the x smaller than 0 is never true because the values that x is bound to is always bigger than 1, or 1 or bigger. So this is an empty list that will be returned here. And what I want to show is that the code that is generated by the comp macro, essentially all the calls are tail recursive calls, most of the time. That's the main point I want to show with this slide here. The only place where it's not tail recursive is here, is when the test is true. Well, it's never true. So you would assume that if you run this thing on scheme, actually, if you take the scheme point of view, you say, hey, the compiler should make it such that no stack is being used. Well, on most implementation, if you're not careful, you run this thing, you get a stack overflow. Most implementations have come in this. That's the main problem I ran into when I started to use this thing as is. So that's the main problem I just mentioned. So if you take this as is and you start using this on some implementation and you're not careful with the optimization setting, you will get a Stack Overflow. That's almost certain if you build lists, if you're doing some lists that are contains at least a few thousand or let's say 10,000 elements. And there's a way to control it. Usually if you declare the optimization setting like speed 3 and debug 2 or 0, and if you do all these kind of things, eventually it works. The compiler decides not to try to merge all the tail calls such that you're using a fixed amount of stack space. But that's not portable. That's the problem with this. The other thing is that, as was pointed out by the principal investigator of our group, he didn't like the idea of having complex macros in the system, because eventually they're difficult to debug, and what you're looking at is no longer what you had in the source. So the idea of having these complex recursive functions being defined everywhere was not that appealing. So I decided to search for a better way to implement this thing, and I say, well, what about using the loop facility directly? Compile towards the loop facility. And since I don't like the loop facility, I say, oh, that's gonna look really ugly, and didn't like this idea. But actually, if you just think about it, I would say 15 minutes or 30 minutes, you realize, hey, that's the way to go, actually. Let's forget about all these recursive functions. It's way too complicated. And indeed, you write down the macro to compile the list comprehension and loop facility, and the loop facility is very simple. And it gives you direct code that is very easy to debug, and it's quite clear what you're doing. Once you get the code, you can see directly what's going on. And the trick here, so if this is the entire macro and function to generate code for list comprehension and the syntax we just saw. And it generates very efficient code, and no stack overflow, no problem of setting the optimization of any compiler. Usually it runs very fast. And so the whole trick, you've got here the three rules again, is they're the same thing as what we saw. In the case of a head, you just use collect as is. If you take the expression, the head here, you say collect the head. That's what you have to generate in that case. And the interesting case is simply the generator. The generator, you simply say the obvious, you say loop for, and v here is the variable provided by the generator as is, and the expression that we see on the right. So that's kind of obvious now when we look at it. And the trick is to use the end comp here, which is the destructive append. You have to use this everywhere. So essentially, when you read a list comprehension, every time you see a generator, you say just add a new loop and put destructive append at the beginning, so that it will put all the lists together very efficiently. And here the funny thing is that I always generate loop repeat one at the beginning here, which loop only one, which is completely a new op. The reason to do that probably looks a little bit strange, but the reason to do that is that sometimes the list comprehension contains no generators. And if you generate an expression in common list which says simply collect x, you will have a syntax error. So the idea here is always to generate loop repeat one collect something. So the loop repeat one here makes the syntax of the generated code correct in all cases. Although we could remove it if we write a more complex macro. So the same code as a few slides, previous slides, the same code here, and this is what it generates. This macro will generate this thing. This, given this list comprehension, it will generate these two loops here. So we can see directly that the X is bound to every element of I 50,000, and Y the same thing. So it's exactly what we see here. And the head is simply the collect here, and the test is here. And you see that the loop repeat one is there. So it's kind of obvious. The list comprehension is directly compiled into the loop facility, and we're going to see that it's quite efficient for most implementation. I have some benchmark at the end of the presentation. Now the interesting thing is that in the paper of Guy Lapin, he mentioned that the macro could not handle tuple assignment. So sometimes what you want to do is here the list computation that we have is using a tuple here on the left side of the assignment, and the previous comp macro could not handle that. But actually, it just happens that it works automatically for the loop facility. Because in the loop facility, if you put this thing here, and you have tuples and the list, well, it works. It will bind one with X and A with Y. It's kind of obvious if you have been using the loop facility, you say, yeah, that exists there. And so we have it for free. We can put tuple assignment directly here, and the macro we just saw will generate the right code. So we got free tuple assignment. Which is actually used in Babel. Babel, we have also this notion of tuple assignment. It's kind of useful sometimes to break structures that are complex. Other things that we have almost for free is that you can actually put vectors or strings here on the side on the right side of a generator. But if we want to do that, probably the simplest way to do this is to introduce a new operator. A new symbol to represent the fact that this thing is a string. And we could actually update the macro very easily because in the loop facility we can scan vectors or strings. The same thing here, we could add a new symbol to have a range of integers. And in Bauvelo, we have the binding operator, which is kind of useful sometimes because in a list comprehension, sometimes you want to simply do a binding and then you want to do a test later on it and then you want to return the result. You don't want to do the computation twice. And that's very easy to implement also. So here's the updated or extended macro LC where we have all these cases. You see here that if the user specified that the right side is a string or a macro or a vector, we simply generate across. So in the loop facility, you have across. You have that allows you to scan a vector or a string, and all the other cases are here. So so the loop facility, it can be perceived as a list comprehension with all these cases of types that we can handle easily. And also, optimization is very easy to do. You can do a lot of optimization. It happens that in Bauvelo, we have to do many times we have to build a list, but sometimes we want to know if this list is empty or not empty. And it's easy to implement in the loop facility because, for example, if you want to count the number of elements in the list, you just replace the collect by count. So we can change actually the macro and just. You want to count, you just remove, replace. It just replaces the collect by count, and it works automatically. You will count instead of, and the same thing to test whether or not a list is empty. You just generate a return. Instead of a collect, the macro we saw, you just remove the collect, and you put return, and it return false or true, depending on what you want to test, empty or not empty. So lots of optimization can be done very quickly using this translation technique. Now, one thing I wanted to test was whether or not most compilers were implementing correctly the loop facility, whether or not it was efficiently implemented. And so I did a little series of tests, and essentially we can actually, of course, implement the compilation towards the basic facility. We can probably use the setq, the prog, and the go, and see whether or not most compilers works well. I mean, compile efficiently the loop facility. So it was actually a kind of exercise to see if we could do better than the loop facility and most common list implementation. And so you can, I'll go a little bit quickly here. You can essentially just use all the basic construct of common list where instead of using the loop facility, what you implement the obvious. You know, you want to implement a list comprehension. What you do is you have a list, and you have a head and a pointer here at the head of the list, and you have a pointer at the tail of the list, and you just add elements as you go along to that list. So you can generate easily this kind of code. Here's the full macro that handles all the code to generate a list comprehension and basic common list construct. And actually, it's not that much more complicated than even the recursive macro that we saw, and it's much faster. Right, here's some benchmark. So I actually used a Windows machine, a very old machine, which has, I think, a processor of 600 megahertz, and I tried the macro that we just saw on four implementations. Allegro, SBCL, and LispWorks, and CLisp. And so here are the numbers and the Stack Overflow that we can actually encounter due to optimization settings. So I have compiled here this expression, which is empty, which returns the empty list. And I've tried this on several optimization settings. So OX represents this setting here, the optimization. You can see that the X varies for safety, debug, and space, but not speed. Speed is always set at 3. And this is the result for comp, which use recursion. And this one use the loop facility. This is the macro LC. And LC2 here is the case where we're using the basic common list construct. So this is not the loop facility here, it's the basic construct, it's the loop facility and the recursion. So we can see for Allegro that if debug is set to 2, actually this is the problematic case, we've got a Stack Overflow for the recursion. Because essentially what Allegro is doing, you're saying to Allegro, okay, debug two, that means I don't want any recursive tail call merging occurring. I want the full stack to be kept. And then you got a Stack Overflow because this thing is looping 25 million times. So if the stack is too small, it will Stack Overflow. The interesting case here is we can see that fundamental construct is a bit faster than loop facility. So for this system, we can do better by compiling ourselves the loop instead of using directly the loop provided by the implementation. And as you can imagine, as you put more debugging information, you get the slowdown. But we're still much faster than the recursion here. And for list works, we got a Stack Overflow in all cases. Even though we put debug at zero, recursion somehow is never there's never a tail merge being done on the, for list works. Obviously, I could probably change some of the setting here and not get any Stack Overflow, but I've never done it, so I don't know exactly the setting to avoid it. And here we get pretty fast execution for list, the loop control, and the fundamental construct does not give us much more speed. Although it is stable, it's quite stable, and then it gets a little bit higher. It doubles eventually for if you put debug at 3. But as you can see, we can do better than the loop control facility. And here, SBCL actually is the one that had absolutely no problem with the stack. So I guess here in all cases it does it tail merge. I assume it does. Because here it gets so fast, as you can see this case here, even debug 2. And here is the basic loop construct. It's slower. So recursion seems to be very well implemented on SBCL. And I guess even if you specify debug 2 or 3, you lose the stack in that case. And the last case here is C-list. We get Stack Overflow in all cases. So even if you try to change the optimization setting, you can never make it work. And as can be expected, again, the LC2 is always faster. So if you're using the basic construct, you can do better than the loop facility for this implementation. Conclusion, Common Lisp has Lisp comprehension, but it has this very quirky syntax called the loop facility. And other things that we can assume that recursion is translated efficiently for several common Lisp implementation. This is what I assumed first, but I realized I was kind of wrong. And common Lisp is not scheme.
Thank you.
What do you do if there are nested comprehensions, then you could optimize and avoid generating intermediate results?
Yes, but it depends very much on the embedded one.
Yeah.
So there is no, I don't see any general rule here to optimize such list comprehension. Every case is different.
You mentioned only low level validation. For example, you can show the slide for benchmarking.
For what?
Benchmarking.
The benchmarking. This one.
I think you can switch the order of generator and filter. And so, I think if you switch, you can get more faster result. And maybe you can use Lisp as a symbolic execution before compilation to which we can fit this generator and this filter. Maybe then we can get more power of Lisp.
Yes. Indeed. Well, we can go in that direction. And actually, for biology, that would be very useful because obviously, most biologists, if they start entering these queries and don't realize that the test should be put first. It probably is a good idea to use this here to symbolically realize that, hey, you can do much better. And that will be an interesting work to do, certainly for biologists who are notion of speed is probably not the of interest.
So, so in Scheme, there's a really nice survey that Sebastian Eger wrote a couple of years ago called Survey 42 on what he calls eager comprehensions. And the compilation model probably wouldn't work for the same reasons as the original recursion. But the neat thing is that the set of sequences that it operates on is extensible after the net because of the macrology involved. Have you thought about that, or does loop do that? Does it allow you to allow to extend the sequences that it operates on?
Wait for the next stop.
Okay, I guess. No, I didn't think about it. I didn't think about this.
So that would be
but does it go in the same direction as was just discussed about symbolically analyzing the sequences?
No, it does that. It does that through macrology. So it's not a runtime thing. It doesn't look at the sequences themselves. This is all compile time, which also makes it really fast. And so that I think that would also be applicable to your stuff. So that's a suggestion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
In your list comprehension formalism, you seem to be able to freely mix generators and filters. So what's the precise semantics of that?
Precise semantics of that. When you scan the list comprehension from left to right, every generator that you meet is a Cartesian product of the list with the previous list, and when you have a filter, the filter is applied directly at that point. So it's you have to interpret them from left to right, which is the basic. For example, Haskell, and I don't know any implementation that, or list compression in some language that reorder the filter and generators to optimize it. That could probably be done, as we just said, but usually you leave them as is.
Have you considered using the series method?
No. Why? Why?
Because it has more or less some kind of list comprehension stuff built in. Instead of a loop.
But the whole idea here was to study, okay, how to compile efficiently. So if I use this macro, I would actually depend on it. And so I don't know if it's efficient or not.
Basically, yes.
Okay.